Father, we are so grateful for this time together. Lord, what can we say except we are such a blessed people that you would unveil and reveal to us the preciousness of your essence that you've deposited in each of us. And Lord, the only thing that I would ask of you is that you would continually unveil us and continually infiltrate from our spiritual being into every fiber, every cell, every atom in our body, Lord, until we're fully constituted with all that you are, that we may express all that you are. For as it has been said so many years ago, the church is the fullness of him who fills everything, everywhere with himself. Wow, that's what we have to look forward to.
Amen.
You know, the only problem I have with a weekend like this, it just goes too fast. We really need more time to fellowship. And that's why I really enjoy the meetings where there is a lot of interaction and fellowship. So we've seen this weekend that God has an eternal purpose. And that purpose is not like I thought it was for so many years, to just raise up a bunch of religious people, but to raise up a people who would express his life and his loveliness on the earth. We know now that even the quantum physicists tell us that all things have their beginning in one source. Of course, we call that source God. Some people just call it source or light or love, which all means the same thing. That God is love. And when we really have that revelation and understanding that God is love, guess what we become? I mentioned last night, I didn't talk a whole lot about it, that maybe it was yesterday sometime, I don't know, that we really have two choices of what kind of a life we're going to live. And we really do have a choice. And the choice we make will determine what we express. And we can either make that choice to live out of a carnal mind, whether it be religious or not, or make the choice to really go before the Lord and open our hearts to really have him unveil us to the truth of what we've read for so many years in these pages. We sing about it. We talk about it. And today it's time to be it.
Amen.
And I see that taking place in God's people all over the earth. Carol and I are so blessed because we get to travel extensively. And everywhere we go, we see people just like you, who are beginning to, and all of us are, I don't think any of us are any further ahead than anybody else, because this is a corporate experience we're entering into. And we all have different functions. But you know, it'd be hard, maybe hard for some of you to believe this, but when I speak, it's a real gift. Because I can't do that. If you would set me down out here in the cafeteria and you begin to talk to me about what I shared this weekend, I could share, you know, a little bit, but I don't have the expression. So, you know, it's not that any of us have anything above anybody else, but we have certain giftings and certain functions. And that's what the body is all about. You know, Paul said so many years ago, you know, if we were all the mouth, or, you know, we were all the ear, or... But we're learning to appreciate all the different parts and functions of the body.
Amen.
And I've been, you know, trying to bring this understanding for years, and it still hasn't caught on a whole lot. But God's body is a functioning, living, vibrating organism.
That's it.
You know, and I have to fight this in our own group at home. But God's intention was never for a bunch of people to come and listen to one man give a message.
Right.
That's not the purpose. But at the same time, it's very necessary for people who are just coming into the, you know, the understanding and the awareness that we're coming into. It's very important for men to speak a word, to bring clarity and to bring understanding to the people who are coming into this word.
Yes.
But those of us who have been in this message for 30 years, for us to have to come week after week and Sunday after Sunday and sit and listen to somebody else. There's something wrong with that picture. And believe me, I know how difficult it is if you're a shy and you're an introverted person. I think I shared last night, I was so shy and I was so introverted that I actually left churches and wouldn't go back if I thought they were going to call on me to stand up and pray or to give a testimony. I was in a church for 7 years that had body ministry. That's the reason, you know, I know what it is and I absolutely love it. I know that's God's purpose, to have a functioning living organism. But the 7 years I was in that church, I couldn't even stand up and give a testimony. So I know how difficult it is. But I also know the power that is in us.
Hallelujah.
And the ability that is in us. You see, I knew for years I couldn't do anything. Like I said, I couldn't even stand up and give a testimony. I couldn't witness on the street. I couldn't do anything. I knew that. But what I didn't know is that within me was the ability and the substance to do anything. And that was the difference between us and what Jesus realized, because he too said, I, my own self, can do nothing. But yet, look what he did. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I knew for years I couldn't do anything, but I still kept trying. And that's why I'd say we have to have a shift in our focus about our true nature and identity.
Amen.
Because as long as we realize we can't do anything and keep trying, we'll always be a failure. But if we stop trying, and I know what that sounds like. You tell me to stop trying to be good, to stop trying to be a Christian? Absolutely. But in that, I don't mean, you know, we go out and live a loose life or we do all of the things. That's not what I'm saying. But we need to stop our activities and stop our trying and just simply sit in the quiet, open our hearts and say, God, what about this? What about what you said in your scriptures? What about the commission you gave to your disciples to raise the dead and heal the sick? And I'm not saying we should go do those things, because you can try it, but you'll fail. But if he tells you, I've laid hands on people, and this is no exaggeration. I have laid hands on people and literally see them fly like a bullet across the room. You think I could do that? None of us have the ability within ourselves to make this thing happen, and we need to stop trying to make it happen.
Amen.
And if we just learn, like I shared last night, the way into a holy, consecrated life of expressing all that's in you is simply learn to enjoy God. And it takes no special ability. It does not take a special person. It doesn't take anything but a willingness and an openness to sit in the presence of God until he begins to speak to you. And most of us don't have the patience for that. You know, in our carnal nature, they use the word carnal nature because we are, that's not who we are anymore. But we, you know, still in our minds, we still operate out of this carnal nature. And in that nature, all of us feel like individuals, separated from one another, individual and alone. And we're all trying within our own beings, our own self, to incorporate what we've learned into our lives, and it doesn't work that way. It's not bad that we try. But once we are unveiled to the mind of Christ, once the enlightenment of God, the Spirit of the living God, begins to illuminate our inner being, we realize we are never alone. And we have never been alone. Because moment by moment, day by day, month by month, there is never a second or never a moment that we can't learn to turn to the Spirit within our very own being and begin to release that flow of His life.
Amen.
And that's the only thing that will bring us into conformity to His will, is the inner life, the inner anointing, the energizing power of His Spirit within us is the only thing that will cause us to walk a holy and a righteous life. Nothing else will work. All of us, every one of us in this room and in the whole world, all of us have the same life, the same nature within us. In reality, as we've shared, and I know you know this, there's only one life in this whole universe.
Amen.
Only one. There's not two. And all of us have full access to that life within us. And it's so important that we change our focus from a God in the heavens. And I'm not saying God is everywhere. I would not limit God to my physical being. God is everywhere. But you can't find God everywhere. The only place in reality that you'll find God is within yourself. And you know, that makes so much sense, because if you don't find that reality within yourself, how could you ever walk in the kingdom experientially? So there's only one life and one nature. As I said earlier, God is love, light, energy, source, consciousness, spirit, and word. There's so many different descriptions, and most of them are better than the word God. Because the word God today, most of the time when you mention God, it puts people's minds in a place where it shouldn't go because of what religion has done to us, what religion has done to that word. Most people today, if you say God, they have an image of God in their minds.
Yeah.
And that image for most Christians is a fearful thing. Because God loves you, but if you don't live according to the law, you don't live according to God's standards, oh, He loves you, but you may end up in a torture chamber. But you know, if I say to you, source or light, that's really hard to get a definitive description of. Except you know light is light. It's energizing, it's quickening. Light dispels the darkness. And we know Jesus said that, you know, he said, I am the light. But then He told His disciples, you are the light. That's why I love that song that we sang last night. That when I speak, that the light will fill the world. So I believe the key... With all my heart, I believe the key for us is to learn how to contact that inner life that we are. Years ago, I used to share an illustration about the impartiality of God. And I said, if you want to be energized with electricity, you could uncap one of our sockets over there and grab a hold of that bare wire. I can tell you, electricity is impartial. If you touch it, it's going to get you.
Yeah.
And And I'm not, don't misunderstand me now. God is very personal, but he's very impartial too.
Right.
So I say this, that you have an energizing life force in the center of your being.
Amen.
And that life force does not care anything about your good or evil. You can be the worst person on the face of this earth. But if you learn to turn and touch that energy force on the inside of you, every time that you touch it, it releases God's essence to your being.
Hallelujah.
And that energizing life force on the inside of you, the more you learn to turn and touch God in reality, the more you touch the electricity, the more it will infiltrate into your system. And it doesn't care how you lived your life today. Let me tell you, you go over there and you grab a bare wire, it doesn't care about how you lived your life today. It's going to get in you. And in that sense, God is just as impartial as an electrical wire. If you touch Him. And see, for so long in church, we weren't taught anything about an inner life. It was all about reaching for God in the heavens.
Yeah.
Well, that's really true, but the heavens aren't somewhere outside of you.
Amen.
And that's why Paul could say to the Ephesians that he has raised us. He said, listen, Gene. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm trying to get you water here.
He said, even when we were dead in sin and trespasses, He made us alive and raised us up together and seated us together in heavenly places. When did that happen? It certainly wasn't when you went to an altar. You see, again, that's the magnificent message of the cross. That you can learn to focus and identify with that cross and realize that even when you're walking around as a dead man in trespasses and sins, you have no concept or knowledge of God whatsoever. Even though that isn't a conscious awareness, it's still a fact.
Yes. Yes.
Even when you were dead in trespasses and sins, you were raised up out of that life of death.
Yes.
And seated in heavenly places. And we keep trying to reach God at somewhere else.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When we are seated with Him right now,
yeah,
in heavenly places.
Yeah.
Jesus said something for a long time that was a mystery to me, but I understand it now. When He was talking to Nicodemus, He said, no man has ascended up to heaven except he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Boy, that didn't make no sense. Now, was He on earth or was He in heaven? Well, He was both. And we can say the same thing. No man can ascend to heaven except he came down from heaven. That's why I say it's so important for us to understand that we did not begin with a sperm and an egg. Our beginnings were in Genesis chapter 1.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Lord. That's where we all began.
Yeah.
Our body came from a sperm and an egg. But remember, a child was born, but the Son was given.
Amen.
So within our very own being is everything that we could possibly ever need.
Yes.
Within you is the Counselor. Remember what Jesus said, it's so important that I go away. Because if I go away, the Counselor will come. And here it is again. When He, the Spirit of Truth, is come, He will teach you of all things. Isn't that what He said? How many of us, speaking in general terms across the Christian world, how many are taught by the Spirit? How many? How many are taught to only listen to what your pastor says? And you can, in some cases, a few cases, listen to your pastor and hear the Spirit. But that's not anything about what Jesus meant. He said, He, the Spirit of truth, when He comes, when that candle, that Spirit, that light of God within you is quickened and regenerated, you have a counselor that will never steer you wrong. I have a message I did a few years ago called God's Infallible Guidance System. You see, when you really begin to function out of your own anointing, and you begin to seek counsel, not from another. We've had many great spiritual writers in the past who have told us, every one of them, do not lean on the arm of flesh. Do not go to flesh for your answers. If you feel that God wants you to do something, don't go to the arm of flesh to find it out or get a confirmation.
Right.
You do need to be clear, but you need to get that clarity from within your own being.
That's right.
And I understand this message is so hard for the religious mind. But within you is the wisdom. Christ is made unto you wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. I mentioned the other night, who He foreknew, Romans says, whom He foreknew, He predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. So did He foreknow you? Is there any way He couldn't have foreknown you? So see, this is not for a select few. It really bothers me when I hear a message about a select few. Now, there is such a thing as what we call the first fruits.
Yeah.
But see, that simply means that there are a group of people on this earth who are taking the time they need to nourish and to take in spiritual food, and they will become ripe before the others. But that does not have anything to do with God's selection.
No.
God is no respecter of persons. And if you want to live a slothful, lazy, lackadaisical life, you can do that. And you can go to church every Sunday and hear nice messages and maybe feel a little bit of good. But you'll never understand the words of Jesus. Within you is the voice that will guide you. And again, it's the infallible voice. Now, I know when you're learning to listen to this voice and you know, you make mistakes. There'll be things that you'll think, you know, boy, this is really God telling me this, and you'll find out later it isn't. But that's okay. It really is okay. You know, the only thing that's really important is your heart. Because if you're seeking God and you really want to do His will and you think, you know, you hear right or you do it and you make a mistake, that's okay. Because we have to learn. And so, you know, experience is always our best teacher.
Yes, it is.
But you can learn to hear that voice so clearly that you'll do anything, even though it seems foolish.
Yes.
How many times, Carol, have we left everything and just moved to a place that we didn't know anybody? And yes. I mean, when we moved to Winston-Salem, we knew one person there. We didn't know how to get to the grocery store. We didn't know where to go shopping. Why would we do that? Because we started feeling that God wanted... We just felt a move. We needed, something was going on, something was moving within us that we needed to move. And I didn't say anything for a long time because I knew Carol wasn't going to react too good if I said to her, God wants us to move again. But then it just kept getting stronger and stronger, and I knew, you know, I didn't want to leave Seattle. We said, we'll never leave Seattle. We love it there.
Yes.
And we still love it there. Our dearest friends are in Seattle. Believe it or not, she's one of them.
It is hard to believe.
Miracles never cease.
But I just felt so strongly, and so one day I just kind of dropped it to Carol. I said, I really feel like, you know, we're supposed to move again. And she was in full agreement because she'd been feeling the same thing. And I didn't know where we were supposed to move. I just knew we were supposed to move. Well, guess what? Carol said, I know where we're supposed to move. We're supposed to move to North Carolina. I mean, see, these things don't make sense. And I said to her, why in the world would you say North Carolina? We've never even been there. Or she hadn't. But see, again, that's the natural mind kicking in. We all have to deal with that. And you know what? Even if that had been a mistake, if we had moved to North Carolina, if it had been a mistake, God would honor it just as much as if He did tell us to do it.
Amen.
Because it was in our hearts to do what was right.
Yeah, that's it.
So don't fear missing God.
Amen.
It's been there all the time. That counselor has been there all the time. That voice has been there all the time. All the wisdom of God has been there all the time. Yet we still keep seeking it outside of ourselves. Still keep trying to find the man who can minister to us. Still keep trying to find the prophet to give us a word.
Yeah.
I love what Paul said. He said, you know, when you all come together, he said, you can all prophesy one by one.
Yeah.
And you know, when he said that, he wasn't talking about standing up saying, thus saith the Lord, you know. But the word prophesy there means to just speak forth.
That's it.
And he said, when you come together, you can all prophesy. You can all stand up and speak forth something of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Because I guarantee you that if you're a seeker after God, and in your daily life, you are fellowshipping and spending some time with God, you will have something to say.
Yeah. Amen.
Paul said, we haven't been led away to dumb idols.
No.
He said, our God is a speaking God.
Yeah.
Yet if you go to most churches, it's like being amongst a bunch of dumb idols. They don't speak. They can't speak.
Amen.
And it's not their fault. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that in a critical way.
Mm-hmm.
They just need to hear the voice.
Yes.
And they need to know that they can hear the voice.
That's it.
That's it.
Yes,
that's
right. I'll never forget my brother and I, we both met the Lord about the same time. Went into a Pentecostal church and we started to have, home Bible studies. And things started happening. You know, little miracles would happen and people would, it was just really good. And the pastor found out about it and he came to us and he was very concerned. And I'll tell you, this man was genuine. And most of them are genuine. But he said to us, he said, you guys, he said, you brother, he said, you need to stop these meetings. And we said, well, why? People are having a good time. He said, I can't be there. And he said, when you start fooling around with this stuff, he said, there's all kind of things can come into your meetings. Angels of light and, you know, all of these doctrines of demons and Satan will falsify miracles in your midst, you know, to draw you away from Christ. And so we shut the meetings down. This is what I'm talking about. No, we didn't know to check within, Lord, do you really want us to shut it down? No, because we were told, you need to do what the preacher said. He's the one that hears God.
Yeah.
You see, Christianity has never made the transition from the Aaronic priesthood to the Melchizedek.
Yeah, amen.
Because the Aaronic priesthood is the one man chosen among men to go into the presence of God and get a word for the rest of the people. That went out with the cross.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Yet what do? We get together and we want to form a fellowship, and the first thing we do, we start looking for a pastor.
Yeah.
We got to have an Aaronic priest. And most of them will tell you how much you need them. And again, this is not critical. I mean, we didn't know any better. I remember the time, and Carol does too. I mean, we were 100% plus for church. We would work all day and come home from work, grab something quick to eat, and go work at the church till 10, 11 o'clock. We did it 7 days a week we were there. So I understand people have a heart for God. And those people that really have a heart for God, when they find out that they have that anointing within them, and they read it in the Word, but it's like, you know how it is. You read something and you just think, well, that don't apply to me or something. I don't know, but you read something and you say, Lord, how, I've been reading this for years. How come I never saw that before? And that's when the Scriptures become the Word. Because without the speaking, this is the Scriptures. And it's a wonder, it's anointed, it's inspired, it's wonderful. But without God's voice, it's still the dead letter. But as you read the letter, something from that can quicken and energize you, and it becomes the Word. And that's what Jesus meant when he said, if you eat me, you'll live by me.
Amen.
The Word. Not black and white letters on a page, but the Word. So when God says to me and Carol, I want you to move to a certain place, that's our Word. And we live on that. And you know what we don't do? We don't go try to make it happen.
Amen.
Yes. 1 John 2:27, I've said it so much. You have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. That's Scripture, folks. I think it's 1 John 2:20. You have an anointing, and you know all things. And here we go running around all over the place trying to find people to tell us what to do or to give us a word. So I found out, you know, in my experience, I don't know everything. I'm talking about in my personal experience right now, I really don't know everything. But there's one in me. That spiritual nature and identity knows all things. And as I need to know what I need to know, that's the voice and the counselor that comes to me and reveals to me the knowledge that I need. Whether it's knowledge or wisdom or understanding, whatever. So see, this is God's eternal purpose, to incarnate in humanity and to become a voice in the earth, to become a living expression of love in the flesh.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to read something that scared me to death for a long time when I was in Pentecost. John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears no fruit, he takes it away. But every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Now, here's where I got into the fear. And I heard a preacher preach this one time, and he scared me to death. If a man abides not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. He is withered. Men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. I'll tell you what, that preacher had the whole church trembling. You know, because again, before the law, all flesh stands guilty before God. And I never intended to give you a negative connotation of the law either this weekend. The law is holy and righteous and good. But that law is not something we live in an outward way, you know, by trying to put rules on a wall or in the State Department or whatever. That's not the kind of law that we live by. The law that we live by is a life law of the Spirit of God that flows from the very depths of our being. So if a man abides not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, he's withered, men gather them, cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Let me tell you a religious story. This is a religious story I was told. God created man because he was lonely and he wanted fellowship. And he created man in his image. And in the creation of man, he gave him a free will because God didn't want a bunch of robots. He wanted people who would willingly love and serve him. And that's why he gave you a free will. So you could freely choose to serve him or not. But if you don't choose him, he's got a torture chamber set up for you. Didn't you all hear that in religion?
Oh, yeah.
He gave you a free will so you could choose to spend eternity in an agonizing, endless torture chamber. A fire that would literally burn your flesh. And you would cry out in agonizing pain forever and ever. He gave you the free choice to do that. How can people really, really love and serve God if they believe that? I do know they can love God, but they don't know God. You can love somebody you don't know? Oh, absolutely. David is a man who loved God with all of his heart. In fact, the scriptures say that, you know, David was a man after God's own heart. But David was continually a man of war and destruction. And he would stand and pray that God would kill his enemies. And, you know. So David really didn't have a clear understanding of God. You can love God with all your heart and still not really know Him. But when you really have an unveiling of His unconditional love, you then can put all of these kind of verses that I just read to you in a proper perspective. Because they are true. You see, if a man abides not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, is withered, men gather them and cast them into the fire. But now we know that the fire is not a positive thing or a negative thing. It's a very positive thing.
Yes.
The very word fire comes from the word P-U-R, which means purify.
Hallelujah.
And so I know now, and I've experienced this, believe me, when I turn my back or I get into, you know, whatever I shouldn't get into, I've experienced the fire, and so have you. But you know what I used to call the fire? I used to call it the devil. Oh, the devil's out to get me. No, he's not out to get you. You're just experiencing the fire. You're just reaping some of that flesh you've sown into for a while.
Yeah.
That's all it is. And I feel one of the best messages that I ever gave, and I wish I could do it again. I tried it and it didn't work. But I gave a message a few years ago in a church, and I taught the reconciliation of all men from the Old Testament scriptures.
Whoa.
I'm telling you, it is so full of it, and now I can't even find the scriptures. But I spoke it in a church where the guy who was in the recording studio, he didn't like my messages, so he didn't record it. But you see, if you really see this thing of God's unconditional love, you can go through those Old Testament scriptures and you can rightly divide the word of truth.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Because I guarantee you, that all the wickedness in us will be burnt up. Like it says, God says, the wicked, I'll leave them neither root nor branch. Everything in your being that's not according to His life and nature is going to go through the fire. And that's why Paul told the man who had, he said to turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. There's not a person on the face of this earth who is lost, except between their ears. It's a wonderful message.
It is.
So what we have to find out here to keep from experiencing that negative thing, and it is a fearful thing when you've gone through the fire, but some of the corrective judgments of God. It's a fearful thing. But if you understand God's character and nature, it'll help you much quicker to turn and repent and seek God to get you out of there. But if you think God is punishing you and He's angry with you, you don't really even have the strength or the faith to go to Him to find the grace to help in the time of need. So Jesus said, if you abide in Me and My words abide in you, you can ask what you will. No qualifiers on that, is there? That's what He said. It's a little sneaky, though, because if you abide in Him, you only ask things according to His will. But nevertheless, He said, if you abide in Me, and My words abide in you, you can ask what you will, and it will be done to you. For herein is My Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so shall you be My disciples. Well, the preacher that put me under all the fear with those verses, to him fruit was winning souls.
Yeah, okay.
Now, remember what I told you about my shyness and my introvert? And I sit there and listen to that, and he's telling me if I don't go out and win souls, I'm going to hell?
Yeah.
I tell you, preachers can put... People who speak for God, they can destroy people's lives. I was so bewildered. I didn't know what to do because I thought, I can't do it. I can't go out and talk to people. Thank God we're getting to understand God. Jesus became a life-giving Spirit. I'm sure you've all heard the talk in the last few years about the finished work. And the kingdom, some of the kingdom ministers now are divided and arguing and divisive over whether or not we're finished. And you know what? I like what Bob Tarangio says. Bob Tarangio said, boy, if I'm a finished work, I need my money back. But you know what? It is true. But we have to understand. Because the scriptures say the work was finished from the foundation of the world. And Paul said, you are complete in Him who is ahead of all principality and power. Now, there are many people in different groups and kingdom or whatever who have taken this word and they have, I'm a finished work. I don't need anything else. I am finished. And I look at them and I say, God, I feel sorry for you. Yet at the same time, I realize... there is a finished work, but it's in Christ.
Yes.
Your spirit, the real you, deep down on the inside of you, is the most beautiful, magnificent person that is completed and it's full and is filling all things. And I want that is in my spirit to be worked into every area of my life.
Amen.
That's true. That's good. See, we're still being reconciled. I like that. Everything is wonderful in the spirit. But we still are walking around with these carnal minds and all of this confusion and even arguing about whether we're finished or not. You know, who cares what you think?
When we argue about it, we know we're not.
We had a conference at our place a few years ago, and one of the preachers was talking about this subject, how that, you know, we're finished, but we're not. And that's so true with so many spiritual truths, you know. There's a balance in all things. We're finished, but we're not.
Both is true.
Both true. So, but this preacher, he was trying to get people to realize that, you know, you need to continue until all of the truth that you know in your head is worked into you and you become that which you are, finished.
Hallelujah.
And there was another brother there and he got angry. And he stood up. And I mean, just your attitude tells everybody. He said, "Don't tell me I'm not finished. Just because I smoke a cigarette, that don't mean I'm not finished." Well, nobody said anything about smoking. Well, yeah, we get under conviction. But see, it's the attitude.
Right.
And I could say to him, "Brother, you can smoke, it's okay, and you are finished, but it still needs to work into every area, every fiber, every cell, and especially your mind needs to be renewed by that finished work."
Yeah.
So many talk about a finished work, but not too many talk about transformation.
Yeah.
And we really don't. See, we haven't really understood that we can be transformed totally into His image and likeness. And that's what I shared here, I don't know when, sometime this weekend, that Paul said that our outer man is perishing. Listen, there is no way you're going to hold on to that thing. And Jesus said it this way, if you love your soul, you're going to lose it. But if you lose your soul, and all he meant by that, lose your carnal thinking. Lose your religious thinking. If you're willing to lay it all down and lose it, you'll really find your life. God is only interested in incarnation. I know I don't like to talk a lot about this because we've been under so much guilt and condemnation in the past about dying to the flesh. But I want to tell you what. One of the first steps of expressing God on this earth is to lay down our life. And when I say lay down our life, I don't mean stop smoking and don't go to me. I'm not talking about all that religious stuff we've learned. To lay down our life simply means that we come to God and just realize, God, without you, I can do nothing. What we do does not make us holy. There was a time, there was churches I was in, where I'd be condemned for wearing a man for wearing short sleeves.
Right. That's true.
The women were taught that holiness was to wear dresses.
Long hair.
You know, and people have people have mistaken gifts for godliness.
Yes.
Most of you probably would. I'll give you an example of that. William Branham. How many of you heard of William Branham? He was, they say, and I have no reason to doubt it, that he was the most anointed man since Elijah.
Yeah.
And I have literally read, I can't tell, dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of books and messages written by William Branham.
Yes.
But see, years ago, that was my heart. I want to be an expression of God.
Yes.
This man raised more dead people. He could stand in an auditorium and pronounce healing, and everyone in the whole auditorium, without exception, would be healed. Not all the time. William Branham is the only man on record that never failed when he said, "You are healed." He never failed. He raised animals from the dead. I mean, this guy was a walking miracle. And I'll tell you, Christians all over the world, have been caught up in that thing of signs and wonders.
Yeah, that's it.
And William Branham said, when they asked him, how can you do these things? Well, he said he had an angel with him. And he would just repeat what the angel would, speak in his ear. So William Branham could come up to you, never having seen you, and say, "Your name is Alice. You have a daughter across the country by the name of, and name the child, that has a certain disease, and God wants you to know that that child today is healed." And he never, ever failed. Now, wouldn't you think that that would be the most spiritual man on earth? He was the most gifted. He was not a spiritual man. If you would hear him preach, most of you women, he'd throw you in hell right now. You have pants on?
Short hair.
I mean, you couldn't cut your hair, but you could roll it up as high as you wanted and keep it on top of your head, but you couldn't cut it. And I say this, William Branham, I loved his ministry.
Yes.
But I'll tell you what, if you go after anything but the life of God within you, you may get what you're looking for and still miss the kingdom.
That's right.
Yet you may never be gifted in that sense. You may never experience laying hands on somebody and seeing them healed. But if you become one who experientially walks in the kingdom of God, you'll find that at times you'll walk in a room and people will be healed. And they won't realize it's coming from you. See, this is kingdom.
Yes, it is.
In this era, in this day, there will be no flesh get the glory for what God is doing.
Amen. Amen.
Well, I'll tell you what, I have longed for years for this day.
Glorious day.
Paul said this in Ephesians chapter 4. That you put off concerning the former manner of living, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and holiness. He's just telling you, put on that new man, that new nature that's on the inside of you. And then he tells you how to do it. This is so important. He's telling you here, put off that old man. Now put off the old man. What he said, put off the old way of thinking.
Amen.
And put on the new man. And then he tells you how to do it. Wherefore put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. It's that simple to put off the old and put on the new. And I struggled for years trying to figure out how to do that. You simply put on the new by speaking the truth.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yet all most of us heard in the churches were lies.
Yeah.
You old dirty sinner, you. We went to a church one time where there was this young boy, and he was always the first one at the altar. You could tell this boy had such a love for God. He really did. I mean, this kid loved God. He'd always be at the altar praying and crying. And as he grew older, one day he went to his parents and he said, I got to tell you something. He said, I can't deal with it. He prayed and he cried. He said, I'm a homosexual. And you know what they did? They threw him out of the family.
Yeah. Oh, God.
They wouldn't let him come home for Christmas when he called. He wanted to come home for Christmas to see the family. Son, as long as you're living that lifestyle, you can't come into this house. That's what religion has done to us. We have not realized the value, the most precious essence of God lies dormant in most of creation. It's only by speaking the truth to one another that we put off the old. You know, I learned to do this experientially. As I began to say, I'm not a smoker. Or I'm not whatever. I learned to do that. And found that the very words of my mouth, as it says in the scriptures, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Paul said in another place, this mortal must put on immortality. And this corruptible must put on incorruption. Well, now that we understand that within the deepest recesses of our being, in the true person that we are an incorruptible being. So, how do we put that on? By speaking the truth. I'm not anything in reality less than what God is. Oh, I may not be expressing it much. I may have a lot of faults and hang-ups yet that is visible. But I know the truth.
Amen.
I know the truth that in me is the incorruptible, indestructible, living, vibrating, energizing Spirit of God.
Yes.
And the more I speak that, the more that becomes my experience.
Yes. Amen.
After 13 years of trying, I walked out of that place. I just woke up one day, really, July 11th, 1982. I woke up a new creation man after years of struggle and heartache and crying and begging God to change me. But because of my constant seeking, learning how to enjoy God, learning how to come out from underneath the guilt and the condemnation, learning how to not feel guilty no matter what I did, not hide from it, but not be guilty, because I knew that the only hope I had was that Christ, by the power of His Spirit within me, come alive to deliver me from the power of sin and death. And so, I woke up after years of struggle. And from that day to this, I have never, even for a moment, felt guilt and condemnation. Do I still make mistakes? Sure, absolutely. I still do things that I, you know, after the fact, I'd say I shouldn't have done that. But I realize that the flesh will always be the flesh. I'll tell you one story. Some of you probably heard this, and I'll close. Carol was married to me for, how long, Carol? Before you ever saw me angry? Had to be.
3 years?
Yeah, it had to be 2 or 3 years. Never saw me angry. Never saw me get upset. The guys that I worked with used to try to make me angry because they didn't believe. They'd never seen anybody like that. And they even had a bet one day, two guys. One of them bet the other and he could make me angry. And so all of a sudden this guy began to treat me bad. And I'd be maybe sitting at my desk reading the newspaper. He'd just come by and knock it out of my hand. Or just do things to aggravate me. Well, he finally paid off the bet. But you know what? There was a root of that still there somewhere. But after 3 years, we went to a car dealer.
That's why we're here.
We had a car that was a couple of years old. Carol wanted a Camry, so I said, well, we'll trade in our Subaru. We had a wagon. We'll trade it in for a Camry. So we went to the dealer, and this young salesman come out, and we told him what he wanted, and I said, I want to know how much I can get for my car, because it was only 2 years old. Well, when he told me, made me an offer for my car that was so ridiculous, when I got done telling him off, he literally was crying.
Whoa.
And so, you know, that made me realize. I mean, God's got to get that root. And so if it takes an experience like that, and by the way, I did go back and apologize to the guy. Carol made me. So I can't stand here even today and tell you there's not some of that in me. But you know what? It's got to come up to come out. So we don't judge one another when we see something, you know, another one is doing, or, you know, we just learn. See, God's nature is never to point the finger and to judge another. God's judgment is always and forever to only make right in you that is wrong. And the greatest friction we have today in the body of Christ, the greatest friction and division is simply over doctrinal differences. And the scriptures say, I mean, I've had people throw this up to me all the time. Well, the scriptures say, how can two walk together except they be agreed? So that gives you the right to cut me off if I don't agree with your doctrine. See, that's how we use scripture to kill one another. And what you believe, really, why would I care what you believe? It doesn't affect me. If you believe God's a frog, that doesn't affect me. If you believe you have to be buried in the water in baptism,
you don't believe that?
If you believe that you want to be sprinkled or put under the water, or you think that I can't be saved if I don't speak in tongues, that doesn't bother me. Why does it bother you when I say something that you don't agree with?
That's it. Amen.
And that's why, again, I'm so thankful for the people that are coming up today in this message, because we've learned that truth. What you believe does not affect my life. And you see, the problem with that is not amongst the believers. The problem with this issue of doctrinal differences is in the leadership of the church. And the reason that they feel they have to be divisive is because they are protecting the people that they shepherd. And they feel, although, you know, some of them have told me, you know, well, you know, brother, we really love you. But, you know, we got to protect our people. We don't want them to hear this New Age stuff you're bringing into our kingdom church. You know what? It's sincere. I don't blame them. It's sincere. They feel they need to protect the sheep. But what they don't understand is Jesus is the shepherd. And He is the protector of the sheep.
Yeah.
And you know what? If you're not honest with God, the preacher ain't going to help that. But if you're seeking for God, an honest seeker for God, you may get into error. You may get into what we call false doctrine. I've done it myself. But see, I have a voice. And I was sitting in the car one morning, getting ready to go to this group. And I heard the voice. And it said, don't go there no more. That's what people need to be taught.
Yes.
You have a counselor. You have a guidance system that will never fail you.
Yeah. Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen. I'm going to close. It's been such a wonderful weekend with you guys.
Amen. Amen.
This concludes this message. For additional tape copies or for more information, you may write Sigler Ministries, that's S like Sam, IGLER, P.O. Box 26695, Winston-Salem, North Carolina 27114. Or you may telephone us at area code 336-775-4930. Our web address is www.sigler.org. Our email address is orders@sigler.org. All of our tapes are distributed at no charge as finances permit. These messages may not be sold, but you may duplicate them freely for distribution. Many have asked us where to obtain the beautiful music at the end of our tapes. You may write Linda Musgrove, that's M-U-S-G-R-O-V-E, P.O. Box 111, Cunningham, Texas 75434 for information concerning her music.